Finally, to end the broadcast, we join our popular Latin lover, Carmelite, Father Reginald Foster, who was for many years and under many popes papal Latinist. Today, he tells me all about the Emperor Hadrian, whose tomb, by the way, is right across from our offices here.
The Emperor Hadrian. A bit of an explorer, Hadrian, judging by this villa where he accumulated...
Well, of actors, yeah. He's 117 to 39, so he was an emperor for 22 years. And so the fact is he spent most of his time going around the world. Military exploits way out to India. He was all out. And his villa out in Tivoli reflects what he learned around the world. The things he saw in Egypt, the things he saw in Greece, the things he saw in Syria. He was very impressed by this stuff, and he came back home, and he wanted his villa to reflect all the things around the world.
So it's correct to say that he was an exceptional explorer.
He was an exceptional explorer. He was a good man, too. And in the end, he became a little kind of paranoid. After 22 years, he said, "I'm tired of running the world."
Yes.
I feel sorry for him because he was a good man.
So explorer is a word of Latin origin, right?
Explorare, yes. To look into, to investigate, just, you know, even like investigating anything. A book is explorare.
And exceptional?
And excipere is to take out. So to be exceptional is to be taken out of the group.
So he was definitely a little bit above.
Oh, yeah, he was. He was. And he was cultured and everything else. In fact, is the big thing that I don't see a lot of people around Rome didn't like. He spoke Greek and was more Greek than Latin. And he brought all this Greek stuff in. If you go out to Adrian's villa, it's all Greek
philosophers
or Greekish.
Rome. One of his favorite maxims was not for myself, but for my people. How does one say that?
Non mihi populo autem meo. Non mihi populo autem meo. The most famous thing, you know, is his tomb is right across the street here.
Casa San Andrea,
yes. And he, the only words that we have written by him is a famous little poem where he talks to his soul. Animula blandula, my little soul, my caressing soul, you're going to go now into the underworld and so forth and so on. He talks to his soul. Like, and the afterlife, it's very, very beautiful, about animula blandula vagula. You're going to wander around now in the underworld. And he said, "I'm going to be sorry because you're never going to see the light again." That's the only thing we have written by him.
How would you say underworld in Latin?
Well, inferos, you know, lower things. And he says to your soul, "You're going to wander around in the soul, and I'm going to be sad because you're never going to be smiling again," etc., etc. But that's Adrian's little poem to his soul before he died.
Well, you said that he didn't write very much.
No, that's all. The only little bit of writing we have.
But in general, did the Romans speak about death a lot?
No, not too much.
Did they have funerals or?
Well, they had funerals, but it's interesting to see, like the classics, people would just kind of die and they would just kind of take this for granted, not to get too excited. Really, Cicero talks about people, "Well, he died last week," and they kind of go on.
How would they say that in Latin?
Priori hebdomada decessit. He, you know, took off last week. And the fact is, Cicero has a famous phrase about his father. People can't believe it to this day. Pater nobis decessit. Father died for us last week. And Cicero goes on and talks about, I don't know, fish in the market. But apparently he's talking about his father's death. They weren't upset like we are.
How would they have said upset?
Turbatus perturbatus, non perturbabantur. The Romans weren't disturbed as we are with funerals and stuff. And most people were cremated and just disappeared. They didn't have glorious funerals, you know. It's another story.
In fact, they haven't left us cemeteries like the Etruscans, for example.
No.
Getting back to the fact that the Emperor Hadrian was such an explorer, there's something I wanted to ask you. Did they have maps in Roman times? And how would you say map?
Tabula geographica, a geographic tablet or table.
And where did they have these?
Well, we have them from the Middle Ages. We've gotten like figures. I mean, they knew everything like from Iran or Iraq up to England and the Mediterranean. And interesting to see like where they have Africa. They had the coast of North Africa they knew about. But the continent they didn't know about. And we have maps of the Romans where they say, "Hic sunt leones, here the lions are. And we don't know any more about it because the Romans didn't get into the continent of Africa. But the coastline from Spain out to Palestine and Gaul and North Africa, the Romans knew perfectly.
You said he went to India, Hadrian.
Well, he got just about out that far. We'd say it's Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, Afghanistan, right in there. Oh, that's where the Romans were.
These maps, they were physically on stone or...
We even have some parchments and stuff from very, very old times, 2nd, 3rd century. Some of these old things are still around. And you can see, like, in the Vatican and stuff, they have maps. And I said, well, you know, 1565. I said, well, this map looks like a Roman map to me. We have figures of these things around parchments. The Romans had parchments in Egypt where they had all this stuff. Library of Alexandria, they had all that stuff. Yeah, yeah. Things that have been left over, found in the sand, you know, in the pyramids.
You're listening there to Carmelite Father Reginald Foster, better known as our popular Latin lover, who was for many years and under many popes papal Latinist, and is currently teaching Latin in the United States.